This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, hey, I'm Ricky Bobby.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr. Let's talk about kids on leashes.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Fire Safety Week is right around the corner, and here are a few important tips you might want to listen to.
Wrapping your kids in newspaper at bedtime sounds like a good idea. Keeps them warm. But guess what? That stuff's flammable.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, we've all run around with an empty milk jug full of gasoline and lit it in an open field. But make sure there's a parent close by.
And Brendan Sprague.
What's better than a nap? A nap with a cigarette. I know. I do it. If you're going to sleep in bed, make it a hammock. So if it lights on fire, you fall down and wake up.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Fire safety begins in your brain at home.
The Fan.
Amen to the fire safety rules. Thank you, Cal and Ricky.
Important.
It's
always important with Christmas trees.
That's right.
Of year.
Oh, man. We have a new kitten. The wife and daughters talked me into it. Well, because the neighbors had cats, and then my wife and children kept seeing the kittens next door, and there was an idea that it would calm down the cat that we already have. Like, get a kitten. The cat we have, he's a little obnoxious. He's not terrible, a little obnoxious, and when people come over, he gets a little hyper. The good news is the kitten has calmed down the older cat. He is now in some sort of paternal thing with his little brother or whatever it is. He's very, very calm. That part worked. The kitten is insane, and we come home to at least one broken ornament every single day.
Well, it's your fault for putting him down there in the kitten's paw reach.
The cat knocked off the tree topper, brother. It was not in paw reach.
What?
The cat climbed the entire internal structure of the tree and knocked off the topper.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why I don't mess around with cats.
That's what's going on in my house. I went to leave this morning and I was like, man, it's early and I'm getting up and I'll get used to it this week. And I don't mind getting up early, but leaving the house, it's cold, it's rainy.
There's getting up early and then there's doing a morning show.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
They're two different things. And the first one, you're kind of, you're ready for.
Well, and
tomorrow we'll have plenty to discuss.
Yeah.
Somewhere around Wednesday, you're going to be like, why did I agree to do four straight days?
Well, the funny thing was, I think I'll be okay with it. I have no problem. Yeah. The nice thing is I get to go to bed early, which is one of my favorite things to do because now I'm an old person. And so I go to leave the house and the cat's being obnoxious and he's bouncing off the walls and he's getting in the trees. So I'm hitting him with the spray bottle and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do this. And I walk outside. I go, this is how I knew it was early. I'm like, oh, my timer's not even on for the outdoor lights. And I was like, this day is not starting the way I wanted it to. But the second that I got in the car, I started it up.
my timer kicked on. I was like, it was worth the effort. Because I was thinking that maybe I'll just readjust him since I'm leaving all day this week. Nope, come on, right at 4:45. I was ready to go. So it was absolutely a lovely little Christmas miracle. You were pontificating on the most yards from scrimmage, and you said Marshall Faulk.
That would have been my guess.
He actually sits number two.
Oh.
So I will give you a second, third, fourth, fifth guess, as many as you'd like to take.
Well, we don't
need to. But 1999, 2,429 yards for the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, was Marshall Faulk. So okay. I'll give you a second guess.
So let's see how
quickly you can rattle off some names here if you want to try.
Oh, I'm trying to think of the Eagle. Westbrook?
No, Westbrook.
No.
Don't even have him in the top 25. I got a second Marshall Faulk season there. Got some Dickerson down the list.
Should start with the 2,000 yarders to see who among them. Jamal Lewis, did they throw it to him?
Jam Lewis. Not seeing him on the list here either. Number 25 is Larry Johnson at 2,199 yards. Barry Sanders is number six on the list in 1997, 23.
Okay. Clearly, 58. I'm forgetting somebody.
Number five is LaDainian Tomlinson.
LT.
Number four is Tiki Barber. Number three in 2019 was Christian McCaffrey. And number one in 2009 for the Tennessee Titans, the man we mentioned earlier,
Chris Johnson.
Yeah. Wow. 2,509 yards from scrimmage.
503 receiving yards.
Yeah, you got it.
There
right
you go.
On the nose. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, there. I mean, it was one of those things where I saw it and I went, oh, yeah. Because he kind of disappeared. They sent him out to the desert and he just kind of withered away. And it was definitely a weird career. Weird dude. Too. So it was one of those guys that you can kind of forget about. Right now, the draft order, as I have it, would be New York Giants, Las Vegas Raiders, Patriots, Jaguars, Carolina Panthers, Titans, Browns. Those last seven or five teams that I mentioned, all at 3-11. The Jets didn't do themselves any favors by winning this weekend. They would be 8, Bears 9, and the New Orleans Saints 10. What are the chances that both Jeanty and Travis Hunter go in the top 10?
I think Hunter will go in the top 10.
Okay.
I think he's so much of a talent. It'll be up to the coaching staff in the front office that has a true plan for how to utilize him.
I know they talked to a group of GMs, and the report that I heard, and this is all, you know, second, third, fourth hand or whatever, but they said 12 out of 13 GMs said that he will play corner.
And I think that will be his primary position.
Just because it's harder to find corners? Okay, that's my thought, too. I don't know that, because he's playmaking, highlight reel wide receiver. Some of the catches that I watched.
It was opening weekend against North Dakota State. That catch he had to
when
win that damn
game.
When he
wrapped around, like, how?
That's insane. There's like four dudes in the NFL that make that catch.
If that. I mean, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, but he did it multiple times where he would just climb the ladder and high point the ball on both sides of the ball and just go, whoa, that's something else. How much more wear and tear are you going to get supporting the run game in the NFL than you would in college? Like is there a chance that he is a legit two-way player? Make him a nickel corner and your third receiver, and he can
oh no,
you know,
I think he will be a true cover corner. I think that's how a lot of teams look at him.
I'm just thinking
I could
if
see
you
him going to the Patriots
sides.
And the Patriots are an organization that will then see what else you can do. I could see him returning kicks.
Return any kicks?
I think he certainly has. He's got
hands. The talent for it. Yeah,
got the talent for it. So it's just a matter of if you want him. And the way that the NFL is protecting, you know, the kick returns and punt returns now more than college. College, you can get blown up.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, it's harder to that happen.
Yeah.
You're a little more protected. I think the Patriots at three. If he doesn't go, I think the Raiders have bigger needs than the Giants. They need quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Giants, they're desperate Raiders. For quarterbacks. We'll see how desperate for quarterbacks that they are.
Yeah.
I could see Cam Ward going to the Raiders. That seems like
a
match made in purgatory.
Well, or Shadur Sanders.
And then, Shadur's big thing is was Deion going to let him go to one of those organizations? That's the big mystery with Fair that point. One is.
But what are the organizations that dad gives permission to? I mean, the Raiders, I think
the Titans, if he went to the Titans.
Okay.
I think he believes that's from a football standpoint.
You don't believe in Will Levis?
No. Well, I hate mayonnaise, so there you go.
There you go.
But of the top 10 teams, like, the Titans are the only ones that seem to have all of the focus on football all of the time.
Yeah. Well, I just think the New York Giants feel like a big enough spotlight that Deion would be behind that. The organization has won Super Bowls. I mean, now they are not doing the things that they need to do, but a lot of that was giving money to Daniel Jones. So I think the Giants is a legacy organization, and you have them, you know, in desperate need of a quarterback. I feel like that's a pretty good fit. Right?
Well, that depends on, does Daboll stay? What are they doing with the GM? Is he staying? What are they doing up there?
Would you hire Deion Sanders as a coach in the NFL? Is that a possibility that he goes to coach his son?
I don't think so.
Through?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be much harder for Deion Sanders to be Deion Sanders as an NFL head coach.
Yeah, but we thought the same thing about going to a major conference and doing what he did at Jackson State. There's like, no way that works. This year he was really good. I mean, they weren't great, but they were really good.
I think if he's committed to it, no.
Because
if they beat
Kansas State in that game where they lost their three top receivers, I mean, they're playing.
If he can figure out, and they can manage, you know, continue to improve on the recruiting front, and I don't know internally what that means they need to do.
Yeah,
obviously he's going to draw. He's drawing donations and donors and NIL opportunities better
the
than
celebrity sideline
anybody else that crazy. You're going to put in there. So that's not the issue. It's how in depth is the true scouting department, both high school and in the transfer portal.
Yeah. No. So you've got Travis Hunter going.
I think
New
three
England.
To the Patriots is.
I think Jacksonville wouldn't be a bad landing spot for him.
Oh no, they would take him
if they can get creative. I'd be curious if Cleveland would be interested in adding a guy like that. I mean, they say they're sticking with Watson, their GM Stefanski, their everybody.
Again,
staying.
They got a whole host of different problems.
Yeah.
So
Ashton Jeanty, you got him dropping. Even with the resurgence of running backs, I mean, I'm looking at this offensively.
The Bears at 9 or the Saints at 10, would be my guess. Because Kamara, I don't know how much longer he went down with a groin injury. I don't know how much longer they can keep him being that productive. And I see one of those two spots. Yes, the Bears would love to have it. I think they need if there's a super can't miss 10-year left tackle available. They take them there. The Jets don't need running backs.
Nope.
The Browns don't need running backs.
Do the Jaguars, are they set with ETN as a...
I think they got bigger issues.
Yeah.
I think they got to decide if they're going to stay with Lawrence.
Yeah. And I think they are. I mean, they're paying him so much money, and there's not going
to
be a whole lot of
so
interest
they need
for
to give him.
They
more...
need to decide if they're staying with Doug Peterson.
Well, that's true. They need to put more weapons around him.
Yeah.
So I could see him. I think, not that Jeanty's not worthy of it. I just think those teams up there have different needs.
Yeah, I'm with
but
you.
I could definitely see the Bears or the Saints.
I guess you just need one team to look at him and go, this is a generational back, and there will not be another guy that comes along.
And then
the
49ers at 15, if they stay 15, if they don't make it, and you're uncertain about Christian McCaffrey, he fits perfect into what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I guess my thought is if you think he's a generational back, would you take him as best player over position of need at the top? Because I think he's that good. Just watching what he does. And you know what? I guess we'll really determine it.
I guess
you already brought it up, but if they play Penn State and he has a field day, let's say they play two playoff games. If they end up and he looks every
and
bit what
over
we've seen.
150 yards and
I think this
running
is,
over guys.
This is an audition for the NFL.
Yes.
If he goes out there and gets two Big Ten opponents or a Big Ten and SEC opponent and runs roughshod over them, because I think right now, I think it might be in your brain a little bit, and I think it's probably in a lot of people's brain, which is it was a Mountain West. He played a Mountain West schedule and ran wild. But if he's in the playoff on the big stage, here's an audition. And if he runs wild in that, I wouldn't be surprised at all if somebody went, yeah, there's the best left tackle. Fine. I don't care. We want this guy in our uniform.
Because if he gets Penn State, assuming they beat SMU,
yep,
and then moving forward, he would get possibly, you know, Georgia or Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So
imagine that Notre Dame and Boise State just go and run for the game will be over in like 12 minutes. It'll be the fastest game. It'll take 90 minutes and they're like filler. What do we do? All right. Those are the best players in college football. We spent plenty of time on Travis Hunter and Ashton Jeanty. What about the award for best player in the NFL? If not for a kicker who forgot how to kick, it would be Lamar Jackson's award, or Josh Allen have the year of years. Is it the best player or the most valuable player? I think it gets confused, even though the name is MVP. We'll discuss that next. It is a Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. It is Dirt and Sprague, but they are gone. Getting ready for the holidays, kind of switching around their schedules, so they will be available to give you all the preview of the college football playoff action coming up this weekend. They'll be back after the holiday to get you ready for the Rose Bowl game, whoever Oregon will be playing. We'll find it out this weekend. Oh, man, this is a week of sports. It's going to be good. I mean, we have two terrible Monday night games tonight, but...
Yeah, does one of them become crappy good like the Jets-Jaguars game was?
Potentially. I mean, well, there's two ways that you have good football games, I've always believed. One, where you just get the anticipation. Like, the game can be whatever.
The Lions-Bills game was, it's like, okay, here
we go. It lived up to the hype, yeah. but like Thursday night, I was jacked for Niners-Rams. Yeah. It's a division game, has implications for the Seahawks. It's seeing if the Niners are still in it.
Mother Nature said, screw you.
Yeah, but sort of the teams. Like, I mean, come on. I know that never give all the credit to Mother Nature for ruining a game. I just think there's too much talent.
Well, and that field does not take water well,
which is super smart for Northern California.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But still, but the hype was fine. Like it was. Yeah. It was a close game. Both teams had a chance at the end. Yes, it was a very ugly game, but there is all the hype that goes up to it, and the game can be whatever it is.
Right.
Then there's games that you're like, oh, I'm definitely not touching that, and then it turns into one of those ones where it's a car wreck, and you're like, oh, maybe I do need to tune in, and nobody can hold on the ball or whatever. So, yes, you have the potential of getting that Falcons-Raiders, because Kirk Cousins might throw it to both teams in equal measure, because that's what he's been doing as of late. Actually, that's not true. He's been throwing it to the opposing team more.
Far more
than he's been thrown at least to his own team in the end zone.
Yes.
So yeah, it's been absolutely ugly there, and there's potential that Chicago goes out there and goes, hey, we're all trying to, you know, get hired somewhere next year, here or elsewhere, and we'll give Minnesota everything they can handle, and Caleb Williams will have one of those things where you go, oh yeah, that's why he was taken. Or he could just hold on to the ball and get absolutely buried into the turf, and he may end his season just on a gurney instead, or in the blue tent instead of it. So any NFL game can go 100 different directions. So I'm not going to pretend that I know because I'm stupid. But that's your kickoff to a week of football that is going to get to Friday night, Saturday, and be the greatest weekend of college football we've ever seen until the next weekend.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. So Dirt and Sprague will be back
there,
on
however,
Friday.
There's more. Like the NFL just always has the next week and the next week or whatever.
Yep. Well, but it does.
College football, the games better deliver. And according to Vegas, they may not.
Yeah. Well, but to be quite honest, it's the first round. They don't have to deliver. Because when you were in the four-game playoff or the four-team playoff and you had two rounds of games, it was kind of like, all right, I need one of these two to deliver, and then you hope that you got a matchup that could be decent in the championship game. I mean, TCU beating Michigan in one of the great games that we've ever seen led to one of the worst championship games you've ever seen. I just think there's enough teams in it that there's going to be a few games that are epic, and it should deliver us a championship game that is worthy of the hype, where I guess I just mean – everyone will have seen enough of the teams that get there.
Yes.
Like, let's say it's SMU and Boise State, the game that nobody wants. They're going to have to beat some damn good college football teams to get there, and there's no way they do it in blowout fashion. And if they do,
yeah,
you know, so be it. But I just think that this will be the toughest won national championship in college football history.
True. Yes.
Regardless of who gets there. And you're going to get more exposure to teams that you haven't watched. How many start to finish Tennessee games have you watched this year?
None.
Okay. How many start to finish SMU games have you watched this year?
None.
Notre Dame.
maybe one.
So you before you get to the championship game, you're going to have seen two or three games with each of these teams.
Yes,
that's great. On the big stage, clear the slate. Let's go.
I think they still need to deliver in most of them. If you have one blowout, okay, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
But if you get three.
I'm with you. You don't want them all to be blowouts. I guess there's potential that it could go that way. I have a hard time to believe that Indiana Notre Dame is going to be a absolute blowout. It could be big brother sitting on little brother's chest, just tapping on his forehead. But I just think Indiana's got too much fight. But I guess I can see it going
all
that way.
All-time 1-71 against AP top five ranked teams.
This is not your Indiana team from years back. But they got pretty well handled by Ohio State, so I guess I could see that. Tennessee, I don't expect them to do that, but you got a freshman quarterback who could wet the
Tennessee
bed.
Ohio State, I will be disappointed if that's a blowout either way.
Yeah,
that should be the heavyweight fight coming back. Now there might be goofiness that goes on in the game all over the place, but
yeah,
that should still be a game in the fourth quarter.
Love it or hate it, Clemson has been on the big stage before. At least Dabo has, and these guys haven't, but they've been pretty good all year.
Yeah,
if Texas is
buttoned up, that could get crazy. Mm-hmm. That could get out of control.
But regardless, if they all end up being blowouts, they run into four teams in wait. Yeah, it's good. It should be an absolute dogfight for the championship. Should be great. I want to know, though, how you vote for MVP, because the numbers for the top two guys in the NFL are pretty staggering.
She said it's cold outside.
She said it's cold outside. Yeah. Who doesn't need some Rob Thomas to get their Monday going?
What's the song that he does with Santana?
I can't remember the actual title of it.
I'm trying to. That one it just used to play on just absolute.
Oh, yeah. Because the title didn't match the lyrics.
Yeah, something
different.
Yeah. Anyways, Matchbox 20. What a institution in this country. MVP race may have ended yesterday.
I think so.
It kind of feels that way. But I want to talk about your philosophy when you think of this award, because what tends to happen is it's either the best player on the best team, or it is a guy that you pull out that one piece of the Jenga stack and everything comes crumbling down. And it feels like Josh Allen is that piece. So if it's most valuable player, I cannot imagine them being anywhere near where they are without
him. I think what he's doing this season is both.
Okay. So Lamar Jackson won the award last year.
Right.
He has thrown 34 touchdowns,
yes,
three interceptions. His QBR or his quarterback rating is 20 points higher, 10 points higher than the next, 20 points higher than Josh Allen. But the problem is looking at these two teams, it's Baltimore is having struggles because their kicking game isn't as good. And he won the MVP and they added pieces to his offense and he's gotten better.
Yeah.
But with Buffalo, they took away pieces. The team has gotten better. So that's where, looking at this, you go, okay, is it the most valuable going, all right, are you making everybody else around you better? And it feels like yesterday, beating the Lions especially, kind of completed the award for Josh Allen. But it's also looking at the historic, Lamar Jackson's having an outstanding year, but he's already got two. And looking at it and going, Josh Allen's been really good, but hasn't been in the conversation yet for the MVP. And now you go, all right, all of these things are kind of clicking at the same time. Big signature win.
Yeah.
You get the losing Stephon Diggs, doing it without him. And then the way that he can do it on the ground and in the air. and he hasn't gotten the award. That's kind of how it feels to me. It's just all of the things have come together.
I leave the past history out of it. I know that a lot of people take that into consideration, but yeah. I'm just looking at the body of work from this year, and, you know, he's got his stable of receivers compared to the other top teams in the league.
Yep. Well, he added Amari Cooper midway through the year, but yeah, he hasn't.
Yeah, but still, yep. You know, Coleman goes down, gets hurt, and it's been a rotating cast of, you know, crew in there. You know, his tight ends have been in and out of the lineup. Also, what they lost defensively and what he's had to they've had to score 40 to win games.
They really have.
Like, Baltimore can still shut teams down with the defense.
Their defense is not what it was last year.
It's not what it was, but. Yeah, and then, you know, you take into consideration the enigma that Justin Tucker is this season.
Yeah.
But you look I just watch what Josh Allen has done week in, week out, and there's more. And Lamar Jackson has had his seasons of just jaw-dropping stuff.
Well, he had five touchdowns again yesterday. I mean, I know they're playing the Giants, but it's just it's one of those one of those seasons where if this was the first time he's done it, I think it becomes that much more remarkable. Right now, your odds, -900 for Josh Allen to win the MVP, +750 for Lamar Jackson, +1,500 for Saquon Barkley, +2,200 for Jared Goff, and then it goes +10,000 for Patrick Mahomes and Sam Darnold. So I think there's, I guess, four guys that are, you know, considered to be in the race. Would you give any votes to Saquon or Jared Goff? I mean, Jared Goff basically
Eagles being in that position is more about their defense than I think any one person on offense.
I can give you that. Yeah. So
the Bills are where they are because of Josh Allen.
It's pretty fun to watch too. I'm kind of hoping that they get to host a playoff game in the snow and just
They'll host
him.
At least one.
I just want it in the snow, though. But just for the visual of the biggest, baddest quarterback in the league.
As long as it's just snowing,
yeah,
I can do without the 30-mile-an-hour winds and the lake effect and that where you can't do anything. But if there's just some snow coming down and... Yeah.
I feel like it's most can't do anything, but that's, I guess, the way that he plays, too. It's, you know, you end up on, you know, the kind of Cam Newton timeline.
You'd hope that it's the Chiefs and Mahomes in there for the AFC title game.
Do either of these guys, it feels like it right now. So you've got Patrick Mahomes with a high ankle sprain. You've got a team that has needed just luck at the end of games, whether it's doinks or blocks on field goals or whatever it is. Yeah. It feels like they're very vulnerable, but we thought the same thing last year about the Chiefs.
No, there were 30 pieces of silver that were dealt sometime in the offseason, no question.
Yeah, so we've got... Very good. We've got the Bills and the Ravens. We've got some other teams that are out there. Who do you have representing the AFC in the Super Bowl?
I think it's the Bills.
Ooh.
I mean, obviously, barring the guy getting knocked out, whether it's, you know, if Patrick Mahomes can't go, if Josh Allen can't go, if all, you know, they get knocked out, then all bets are off. But assuming they don't have a string of catastrophic key injuries.
Well, I think you said it all right there. Like, if you're voting for MVP, who's the guy that if you lose, your Super Bowl odds fall off?
Like, which defensive coordinator is just coming out of the film room going, I need 13 guys?
All of them?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels that way. I mean, I think with what? How much time was left in the game? 10 minutes? And they decide to kick an onside so he doesn't get the ball anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is a Super Bowl contender from the NFC looking at it going, we need to get the ball out of this dude's hand.
Yep.
I don't like that you have to tip your hand there either. I used to love the surprise onside. I know. I get it. The new kickoff it's weird.
I know.
It's a weird one.
It's always a work in progress.
Well, it's funny, too. I mean, the talk that baseball has about, you know, the golden at-bat or whatever it is. Oh, wow. I wasn't trying to. But it feels very much like they're taking the NFL model, which is change some rules every year to try to fine-tune it until we get a perfect game, which really what you end up with is a very different game than we used to watch, which baseball needs to avoid at all costs. But I remember talking with an Aussie who loved the NFL and wanted to get into it, but he lamented the fact that every year there's a rule change, and it's hard for them to get, you know, all the games. They don't have a red zone Australia down there, and it's probably easier than it used to be. But he was saying, he goes, you know what I like about soccer? In 100 years, they've had 2 rule changes.
Yeah.
And they were minor.
Yep.
And so, you know, at this point, I can't even remember what they are.
I have 2 rule changes I would suggest to soccer that don't affect how the game is played.
Don't get me started on baseball, but I've got 2 rule changes you want to interject here about soccer.
You brought it up.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was hoping for, is that you would carry that torch.
2 simple things if you want to further enhance it.
1, make it football. 2.
No.
Oh.
It does not change the way the game is played on the field.
All right. Vancouver Ford text line. Let us know if you would like Swag's 2 changes to soccer. And if you do, we will get those in the final segment. Otherwise, we'll just put a bow on the show. So that's what it is. Vancouver Ford text line. All texts on the
fan. We got 3 more days together.
All texts on the fan or the Vancouver Ford text line.
Tomorrow.
Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. That is 503 to go fan.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do. So let us know.
You better hear Thunder and Bucks homework tonight.
What's that?
We got a cup check tomorrow.
Cup check tomorrow. Cup check. We'll do that. So would you rather have a cup check and a preview of said Emirates Cup?
Well, there's time for both.
I really don't want to do either. Final segment. We'll see where we go. It's based on you. It's up to you, listeners. Final segment next on Luke and Swag edition. Number 1. Of the Luke and Swag editions of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. We didn't plan it out, but this is the perfect lead-in music to figure out this Vancouver Ford text line fan vote. I'm going to read just 1 of the hundreds of texts that came in. It took me arduous effort to count them. But based on this song, this is the one I'll read. Give them to us!
Okay.
So, there, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed the last segment, this is Jason Swigard fixing soccer.
Adopting from hockey. Why they have limited substitutions? If the roster is limited, I think you can suit up 20.
Wait, are we going to do like line changes from hockey and just all of a sudden in the middle of the field, they just swap out the entire field?
Well, first of all, quit having where you can only substitute like, you know, 3 dudes.
And once you're in, you're out.
If everybody suits up, if you are in uniform, so limit, you know, the NFL does that. It's a 53-man roster, but you only suit up 46 for a game, and that's all you got to work with that day.
Sure.
Fine. Just whoever.
Yeah.
And then I would have, on the sideline, I would have an area with hash marks.
Yeah.
Where it's like hockey. Let's just keep subbing in.
Just line changes.
You can go in, whatever position. You have to get over to that designated area where the fourth official is all he does is hold the thing and take heat from the coaches who are mad at the referee, but they can't yell at him because he's on the other side of the field.
That's
his job.
I don't watch much soccer. What does that do? Just more energy out there?
I think it would keep the pace of the games up more frequently. Plus, you could change, if you wanted to change your formation all of a sudden, you're like, it's the end of the first half, and sometimes you're like, okay, we're down 2-0. I'd really like to get a goal before the end of the first half, but I don't want to burn a substitution right now. You don't have to worry about that.
I'm going to need some help on whether or not that's a good change or not. I'm trying to picture it, but I would love the
pace to keep up. You're still 11 guys on the field, but you can, you know, if you have 20 guys suited up, let's use them all.
Yeah.
Let's have different strategies at different points in the game. Maybe in the last 10 minutes of the first half, you're down or you're up 1-0, you want to get the extra goal, you throw an extra forward on, you take a defender off for some reason, let's go.
Pull the goalie.
So, you don't need to be extreme.
Well,
they
do it in hockey. It's not that extreme. If, you know, you get an extra forward out there and you go for it.
But I think it would allow more strategy to come into the games more often. Mm-hmm. It would... And
that's 1 change. You have a second?
No, those are the 2. So,
gotcha.
You have every, you know.
So it's 2 in the same.
They're 2 in the same. They're both having to do with substitutions and roster. But but there's a designated area.
I thought you were going to put helium in the ball or bigger goal.
I'm not changing how the game is played on the field.
Change it. Just make the ball more aerodynamic somehow.
Stop.
What?
I'm letting the sport be the sport.
Yeah.
I just let's keep the pace up. Let's keep the energy up for a full 90 minutes. And if you need to change the dynamic at some point in the game, you have the ability to do so.
Well, here's the thing about soccer, as much as I would like to just dump on it because I don't find it that entertaining, there are billions of people around the globe that absolutely love it. I would like to go at some point to a European soccer match of consequence.
So much fun over there.
Have you ever been to a live?
No, I
haven't. See that? I would like to go to that. I'd also like to go to a cricket match. I think that would be fun. I would like to check out rugby or Aussie rules football in person. I just want to, the fervor and the fandom. Like, if I could go to like a World Cup, rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, just to see the people.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I'd be all over that.
I'm all for it. But
it's a weird bucket list. I need somebody to explain cricket. Like, I am confident that you could throw me just about any sport in here for an update, and I could properly articulate it. I cannot do it with cricket.
I don't know.
I don't understand the scoring. I know there's overs, and I know there's runs, and I know there's innings, and there's wickets.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it all fits together.
Couldn't tell you either. I also know that matches can last multiple days.
4 days, yes.
Which is absolutely
insane. And why
is
it called a test?
That actually makes sense. You're testing yourself against the other team.
But then does that match count, or is a test an exhibition?
Don't throw a bunch of questions at me about this. There's also one thing about
cricket.
I did. There's also one thing about cricket that really fascinates me is, and I don't know the guy's name, there's some Australian that is like Gretzky.
Okay.
On steroids, like, so to the point where his numbers
are so much better
than everybody else's. That is one of the more fascinating. Wayne Gretzky is still just absurdly fascinating to me,
which is why Ovechkin hunting down his goals record, and he's getting close, is amazing, but if you just
took Gretzky's assists, he's still the points leader all time.
I know
that is just. But there's a guy in cricket that is like that and then some, and I don't know when he played. But
okay.
I believe it was an Aussie. You can look him up or whatever. But
you got three more shows.
Wait, would you do really? So I'll figure out what a wicket is, and then I'll figure out why it's a test, and do they play on a pitch as well? And then we can do the whole thing.
Yeah. And when does tea get served?
Always. It's at tea time.
Yeah, but at what point in the match or the test does the tea get served?
What would you serve if you had a snack break in an NFL game? Is it a beverage? Is it everybody take?
Because it's either wings or nachos.
For the players.
Oh, as opposed to orange slices?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they get.
I don't know.
I just picture like the stories of like the 1960s and 70s where it's like shotgun a beer and take down a couple cigarettes.
Exactly.
Like the pictures of Len Dawson in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Deacon Jones.
Yeah, but in the Super Bowl locker room, just burning a heater and just, that to me is fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to episode 1 of Luke and Swag. Episode 4 will culminate on Thursday. Dirt and Sprague will be back on Friday. Swag, thank you as always.
Yes.
Appreciate it. For now, we're done. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.